Welcome to the Black Girl World Traveler podcast. I'm your host, Shira, and I'm thrilled to invite you to explore the world through the eyes of a Black woman. This is more than just a podcast. It's a celebration of travel, adventure, and culture with a purpose. As Black women, our perspective is unique, and it's time to amplify our voices and share our incredible stories. Join me as we inspire and encourage each other to see the world in a new light. This is your go-to lifestyle and travel podcast for meaningful journeys and unforgettable experiences. So whether you're an avid traveler like me or dreaming of your next destination, come be a part of the Black Girl World Traveler community. Tune in now and stay connected for amazing tales of travel, adventure, and culture that will leave you inspired. This is the Black Girl World Traveler podcast, where wanderlust meets purpose. All right, dope. So welcome back to Black Girl World Traveler, the podcast. I'm Shira, and today I have a special guest, LaJoie. LaJoie is a passionate solo traveler of over 7 years who has empowered millions to solo travel safely and uses it as a means to transform their lives. She creates reels that focuses on how you can use travel to transform your life and change your mindset. Her thousands of followers on YouTube and Instagram have empowered her to build a community around solo travel and transformation. Her community has inspired her to provide free resources on her website about travel and transformation so that no one feels alone on their solo travels. Ladies and gentlemen, LaJoie. But let's start from the beginning. So can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, so I'm a military brat, and my dad is from Atlanta, Georgia / Mobile, Alabama. Like, he lived. And then my mom is actually an immigrant from France. And I think because of this, I've been exposed to traveling from like a young age, especially being in the military. I lived in Japan for about 4.5 years. And it was funny because growing up, because I moved around so much, I was always like, I want to be like from one place. Because I had so many friends who was like, oh yeah, like I lived in this place for like 10, 15 years. You know, lived in one place the whole life, and I really wanted that. And so after college, I tried to settle in Seattle. And then 3.5 years later, I moved to Mexico. So I think that was like my big like awakening where I was just like, okay, so I'm not meant to live in one place for like, you know, more than 10, 15 years. I'm not meant to do that. And actually, really, I love traveling and I love moving around and exploring new places and meeting new people. So that's a little bit about me and my background.
It's interesting that you say that you wish that you were from one place. I'm like, oh my God, I would have loved to travel. But that's the adult mind talking, but not, I guess, the child's version. So did you find that as a child, it was difficult for you to make friends? Or how did you feel about being a military brat?
Yeah, so I think after the first couple moves, the first two moves, you get used to it. You get used to adapting. And I can't really honestly say where that wishful thinking that I'm from someplace all my, you know, all my life. I don't know where that really came from, because at some point you just get used to it and you just adapt and you just learn to adapt. And it's funny because I don't know, when you grow up, you're like, oh, we have to move again. But then looking back now, I'm like, nah, we lived in Japan. It's pretty dope. Not a lot of people can say that. And then the experiences we had too were so special, because we actually lived off base, which at the time, my butt was like, you know, all my friends are on base. I want to live on base. And now looking back, that was actually really dope, because we got to see old Japanese grandpas cutting their little bonsai trees every day at 5 o'clock. The memories that I created were very special. And then we would have to get up really early in the morning to take the bus to go on base to school. But because we woke up so early, we actually saw these Japanese fishermen with their Japanese fish. So we got to see them in the morning, go to their boats and stuff. I think the memories were really, really cool and very special and near and dear to my heart. And I'm very thankful for them. But I don't know, it's just one of those things when you're a kid, I guess we're taught to want what other people have instead of appreciating what we have in the moment. So I think it was just one of those things that happened when I was a kid. But now that I'm an adult, I really appreciate that. So
Dope. So let's fast forward to after college. You tried to settle down in Seattle, which you did for, you said, 3.5 years. Why didn't that work out?
I had a lot of experiences and a lot of growth happened to me in Seattle. I went from having this mindset, because I had majored in biology in college. So I wanted to get into the nonprofit field, and I tried that, and there wasn't a lot of us. And I remember sitting in the first meeting, and I was the only person of color, and I was like, I don't think this is where I'm meant to be. Like, you know, it was just like one of those moments where I was like, So I did that for about a year and a half, and then I switched. I did the complete 180, right, coming from this background of biology and environmental science, and I went into music. So I dabbled in the music industry for a little bit. I was a female rapper, like, at the time, and now I'm still doing music, but in a different way. So I was focused on that, and then once I started to see my friends sign contracts, get into the contractual aspect of the industry, I was like, this is BS. Like, this ain't it. So, like, this isn't what I really love. And so I was like, you know what? I think it's time for me to grow. And so I started playing with the idea of traveling. And actually, the end of 2019, I started to just let go of the toxic relationships that I had developed in the music industry and the toxic habits that I had developed in the music industry that wasn't serving me anymore. So I started to kind of peel the layers back and clean myself in a way. I guess that's the best way to put it. Cleanse. And I really started to get more into manifesting and taking manifestation a lot more seriously. And so in the fall of 2019, I had traveled to France to visit family. And it was funny because I had this tarot card reading. I mean, I don't know if your audience is into that, but I had this tarot card reading that was like, oh, this is going to be a taste of your life for the next 15 years. And I was like, what? There's no way. So I go back to Seattle, I work again, and my friend, she decided to have her 30th birthday in Puerto Rico. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to go to Puerto Rico. It's going to be great. And it's about March. What, that trip was from March 8th to March 16th. So we go to Puerto Rico, and then COVID shuts everything down in the middle of this trip. And I'm like, well, I lost my job. I was a substitute teacher before this, so I lost my job. And so I was like, why go back? And so I stayed in Puerto Rico for the rest of the month of March. We're going to say finessed my way to Mexico. And then from there, I traveled for the next 4.5 years. I think that was probably the best summary of how I kind of leaped, like fully leaped into solo travel and this journey of transformation.
Got you. So was the pandemic the catalyst for your round the world travels, would you say?
Yeah, it's crazy. But I mean, for me, it was just like, oh, God kind of just pushed me at that point to like, no, this is what you're going to do. This is it. I think the biggest thing was that I lost my job. And I think that really empowered me to just embrace the traveling experience, embrace the experience of just not just traveling, but solo traveling, meeting new people. I think that was the first time I really worked on my first business and my first big YouTube, not big YouTube channel, but like, really investing the time into a YouTube channel. I feel like that was like my big leap. It was different, but there was a lot of blessings in that though. That was the other thing. So I had manifested beforehand, right? 4.5 months before COVID hit, before I started traveling, I was really focusing on being healthy, happy, and whole. I was like, this is what I want. I want abundance in my life. And because COVID happened, it was crazy. I was in Tulum for about 2.5 months. And it was funny because actually, so I arrived there in April, Tulum was still lit. Like there were still travelers coming in. It was really crazy. I was like, what? Like it shut down over there, but here it's great. But it was great because everything was really cheap because traveling was just at a halt, right? So for me, I was staying at these hotels and studios that would normally be $200 a night in the high season for $10. It was a really crazy just magic that happened. You know, it's just one of those things, like it's all in the timing, it's all divine timing, but it happened in the right place, right time. And it really just worked out for me because it gave me the space that I needed to really develop myself more, like feed into myself, really feed into my soul. I think that was one of the first times in my life where I had the space and the means to really figure out who is Lajoie, like who, what am I about? What do I really love? And how can I share that with the world? So yeah, so it's crazy that it happened during COVID, but I think COVID was one of those times where it was an opportunity. While my friends were running out of things to watch on Netflix, I had really poured into my first YouTube channel where I was doing astrology, which I kind of stopped at this point. I just took advantage of the opportunity. And I think that's the biggest thing that I think people need to learn. Especially us as women, we need to learn how to take advantage of opportunities. If we lose a job or we get fired, it doesn't mean to, you know, rush. I learned this lesson twice while I was traveling, but it doesn't mean to rush into the next job. It means to pause and like reflect on our lives, like take that time to reflect and pour into ourselves. I think the biggest thing that we have is time. So when we are given opportunities to have more time to ourselves, we need to take advantage of that. And yes, you can watch some Netflix, but it doesn't mean to spend, you know, the whole time watching Netflix, okay?
Back to the traveling, you viewed you losing your job as an opportunity. I would say that the majority of people would see that as like, oh shit, like, what am I gonna do? Were you ever scared when you first lost your job? Like, what am I gonna do and how am I gonna fund my life?
Right. So this is why I say it's magic. The 4.5 months before COVID, before the leap, I was manifesting and I stopped going out. I stopped drinking. I took the pause, right? I took advantage of the pause. And I started saving up. And because I was saving up so much money, I was living frugally and I had no clue what I was saving up for. No clue. I had no intentions to travel for a year. None of that. Because of that, I actually had about, I would say about $12,000 saved up. I started taking public transportation. So not having a car was a huge money saver. Oh my God, I saved up so much money because of that. And so when I lost my job, I was forced to just accept. I don't have a job. I'm not going to have an income. Okay, whatever. But then having that emergency fund, having that money set aside, that was the other thing that allowed me to be comfortable and be okay with travel. We're in a country where the cost of living is cheaper than states. And I would say the standard of living is higher, at least for me as a foreigner.
So you were manifesting your life prior to the pandemic, but you had no idea. Can you talk a little bit more about that and like the power of manifesting now that you can reflect on that time period?
Yeah. So, you know, what's crazy? I mean, I've talked about before what I had done for those 4.5 months of just saving up, kind of buckling down, you know, focusing on me. And I didn't realize until I talked to a friend of mine literally a month ago that what I had did was really this thing called quantum leaping. I feel like people are more becoming aware of consciousness and manifesting and all of that stuff. But yeah, I can tell you my manifestation process at that point. It was scripting. I would wake up every morning and I did three things. All you need to do is three things, but you got to commit to it. And I committed to it for 80 days, but I'm learning you need to do 80 days. You got to do at least 63 days. That's like the minimum. But depending on your mindset and your vibration, you can do it quicker, but it heavily depends on your vibration. So I did the manifestation every morning, 6-minute meditation every morning, and then a quick yoga flow every morning. 3 minutes. I'm talking one that I kind of memorized. I didn't have to go on my computer, look it up on YouTube. And so I did this for about 80 days straight. Waking up first thing in the morning. This practice is 15 minutes. It's not, you know, it's not a 2-3 hour. Now it's a little bit different. Like, I don't need to do all of that. I guess I didn't feel I need to do all that. I did those three things. Every day I did one thing that I absolutely love to do that rose my vibration. So for me, it was practicing performing. And so that's what I did, that one thing every day for about 1 to 2 hours. But this was kind of the key. And so that was the process that I did to have that quantum leap happen. But I think the biggest key, though, was that I didn't know. I think that was the biggest thing. The fact that I wasn't like, okay, I'm going to do this, and this, and then I'm going to travel the world for a year, and I'm going to go to all these countries. Like, I think the fact that I left it open allowed me to kind of have experiences and adventures and see beautiful things and just have beautiful experiences. It allowed for me to travel with like an empty bucket.
Yeah, you didn't know what you were planning for or like what was on the other side. You just were open to it. And I think that is something that I'm working on and that probably a lot of my listeners can relate to, is just doing the work, doing the journey, going on the journey, but not necessarily knowing what's at the finish line. So that's super dope. So just for clarification, what is quantum leaping? Because I don't even know what that means.
Okay. Quantum leaping is this term that I think is popular amongst the conscious community right now. But quantum leaping is when your life just jumps. I guess for some people, a quantum leap looks like they get the ideal job. For some people, they have that lifetime partner that they've been searching for. It's just a jump in your energy levels. On a scientific aspect, it's like your vibration is just higher and you're happier. That's the best way I can put it. That's what a quantum leap is. And so it's just, you're taking yourself from this lower vibration and you're bringing your vibration higher. And so that's kind of what I did. So to put it in a, I guess, more grounded way. So I was living in Seattle for 3.5 years. The weather in Seattle is rainy, cloudy, 9 months out of the year. Listen, you get 3 months of stray sun. I don't know how I did it. But going from that environment that didn't really fuel me to living in Mexico and then obviously other countries after that, waking up to sunshine every day, going to the beach almost every single day whenever I wanted to. That's one of the things that really fuels me is the beach, the beach and the sun. I was eating fresh fruits and vegetables like every single day. And the other thing that I learned was that because the food was grown in that country, it just has more nutrients. Like my standard of living, it heightens so much, like in ways that I just couldn't imagine before.
No, that's dope. I think that we definitely got it. So from Puerto Rico to Mexico, now you're in the solo travel. When at a certain point did you start to see travel as a revolutionary, necessary act for Black women?
I want to say in Puerto Rico, but yeah, I mean, from the jump, because when COVID happened and I realized there was no plan, right? It allowed me to embrace like doing what I love and sticking with what it was that was fueling me and just empowering myself. Because when you go to Puerto Rico or any Latino country, especially like Afro-Latinos, they know how to live. They know how to be free. They know how to stand in their happiness and stay in it. And that's just something that in the States, we're just not taught that. We're taught that stress is the norm. We're taught that we need to do stuff for other people in order to be happy, which we know doesn't work. So when I was in Puerto Rico, it was the first time I had met other Black women who stood in their happiness, who prioritized their happiness. And I embraced that. I said I would go to the beach whenever I could. I would like eat the things and the food that fueled me. I would be around people that made me happy, that I could laugh with, and that I knew when I was talking with them, when I was with them, we would just be and just be happy. So I think seeing that was the first kind of awakening that I had as a Black woman, where I was like, oh, I'm choosing to stress. I can choose to be happy. I can choose to prioritize my happiness. So for me, that was the first time that I really experienced that. And then I kind of experienced that again in one of the two Afro-Mexican communities. I went to this place called Chicawa, and that was like another instance where I met other Black women who were just having fun and living life consistently. I feel like in the States, we're allowed to have fun on the weekends. We're allowed to have fun when we travel, but then seeing people choosing to be happy every day, I think again, that was the big awakening for me.
So what were those feelings that you had when you saw those women choosing happiness? What was going through your mind at the time? And the reason why I'm asking this is because when I was in Spain, it was so uncomfortable for me to feel happy because I was like, I'm happy and this is so new. I'm happy all the time. Whereas like in the States, I feel like happiness is reserved for your vacations, your 2 weeks out of the year, your summer breaks, your weekends, as opposed to joy as a constant.
Yeah. So one of the things that happened when I was in Puerto Rico was I started telling my friends about what I was experiencing. And that was hard because I even had one friend, she was just like, look, I'm happy for you, but we're here and it's COVID. I think she might've been jealous, but I think at that point she was just like, look, this is a lot. I need to take a break. And that was really hard for me. For me, it was just an epiphany. I have to say for me, because I had spent the 4.5 months doing the work, doing the emotional work, looking at my limiting beliefs about like my happiness and my value and my self-worth. I think because I had done the work beforehand, when I was in it, I didn't have any guilt because I had done the work before. I think this was kind of the key. I did feel guilt when I had some of my friends coming to me being like, look, we can't talk for the next couple of months. But on the flip side, I had other friends who were like, no, keep pulsing those sunsets. Because at the time I was going and doing meditations at the sunrise. Super, again, fueling myself. I know it's super hippie, but it's what I needed. And anyway, so I was posting a lot, sharing my experiences, sharing my life, but not in a way that's like, oh, here I am. It was more in a, let me share this with you. Let me record the sunrise so y'all can see it too. Because I know what's going on in the States right now is not the best for everybody. So let me share what I'm experiencing. And so there were some of my friends who were like, thank you for sharing this. This is literally giving me life. So I did have friends who were on board with me, but there were the friends that had to, I guess, take a break from me. But again, I think because I did the work before, that was the key to not feeling guilty.
Yeah.
Got you. So for those friends who are like, we need a break from you, do you consider them to be friends still? Like your real friends?
So, I mean, you know, since we talked about astrology, I'm a Pisces. So it's like, I always have this compassion for people. There was one friend who, even in the 4.5 months before, I had to cut ties with, because it wasn't just her. It was the people she brought around with her. And my friends with them now. So I guess we're not close friends anymore. But I think for the one that was kind of like, I need a break from you, we have talked to each other more now. Now we consider her a friend still, because sometimes that's what I've learned through friendships. Sometimes y'all need a break, and that's fine. But if she was still like upset with me for me feeding into myself, I would distance myself from them. I wouldn't necessarily like block them, right? But I would just distance myself from them. And that's one of the biggest lessons I learned a little bit over and over again when I was solo traveling, was kind of realizing that when God is taking somebody out of my life, it's for a reason. And I really had to learn over and over again, don't go back. what are we doing? I had to learn that a couple of times, I have to admit, because there's just a part of my heart that's like, no, like, we can make it work. The reality is, when God is taking somebody out of your life, like, it's for a reason, and you got to just embrace it. And then you're going to bring in somebody new into your life that's going to be that friend that you actually need, and that's worth your time and your love.
Amen to that. I just went through a friendship breakup, and I've gained new great friends. So you are indeed right. So I want to go back to solo travel. You know, you were having all these great experiences and seeing possibilities through other Black women. But solo travel is not always lilies and daisies. There are some difficult moments. Can you share some difficult times that you've encountered along your travels?
Yeah. So one of the probably most difficult times, fueled with so many lessons, was when I had traveled to a country and I had gotten robbed of all of my stuff. And this is 2.5 years into my solo travels. So literally my life was on my back. Like, that's literally what it was. And so I got robbed of everything. And in the same day, the same day, I had got assaulted by police. And the thing that really, I guess, hurt me was that, like, none of the guys that I was with helped me out at all. And it was just, like, really frustrating, you know? So anyway, my point is, just be aware when you travel to a country and you look like the locals, just be aware that until the people or the people you're dealing with know that you're a foreigner, you got to kind of make that apparent, but you got to also be safe. So I don't know. So it's like, it's kind of this double-edged sword too, right? Because there's some places where I do blend in to be safe as a solo traveling woman. Like, Brazil is one of those places. If I don't open my mouth, they don't know that I'm a foreigner. So I'm good to go. And that actually saved my butt. But that's the story for another day. But then anyway, so the big thing that saved me, I think, from this whole situation happening was that I had locals that helped me out. And so when everything happened at the end of the day, I had one friend who told me, they're like, look, like, I know what you're going through is really hard. And he says, there's like a saying that we say in Colombia, which I forgot what that saying is, but in English, it translates to, it's an experience. And that's one of the things that I didn't really put two and two together till later, because I think in the States, we're taught everything has a reason. Everything has a lesson behind it. And one of the biggest things that I learned from Colombians was that, no, it's an experience. And it's one of those things where we come here to experience, and that's it. And it was really hard for my mind to wrap around that. But one of the biggest things that I learned traveling was that there are amazing, good people in the world. Every country you go to, you're going to meet good people regardless. Be aware that there are also bad people. And one of the things that I actually did after this experience happened was I stayed in the places in Colombia where I knew there were more Black people, because I felt safer amongst my people. So that's like one of the times where it did go wrong, but I had an abundance of magical experiences that I would never trade for anything.
Got you. So you chose to stay despite this, you know, this event. How was it being in the place that sort of caused your trauma? Because I know you, like, you made your pros and cons list and you were like, I'm staying, but were you like, how did you heal, and what healing methods have you done since this event happened? Because that's a lot to experience in one day. I've had bad things happen. I have never experienced that. And I'm so sorry that that happened to you, because that, I think, would send me into another realm.
Yeah, so I had a really good support system. I think at the end of the day, that's what it was. Because I was sobbing that night. I was really, really, really sad. I'm traumatized is really what it was. So I had a good support system. So the next day, my boyfriend at the time, he was with me. So he was there. So yeah, so I was able to communicate with him what happened. He was there for me and he gave me a sense of protection. Having my friends who were from that city, that were from Medellin, they gave me a sense of comfort also. And then they talked to me, they helped me out, like they were with me. And again, this happened the day I arrived in the city. And the other thing is I had been to the city before and I had lived there for about a month before. So when that happened, I wanted to get out of there and I wanted to be in a place where I felt safe. So I immediately went to Cali with my boyfriend and his family and I stayed with them. So I think the key is to like be in an environment where you feel safe and you feel loved, because I really felt I was in a loving environment. And I think if I didn't have them, yeah, I would have left. I would have bounced real quick. And then I also had my therapist at the time. I explained to her what happened. And I think the next day she was like on call with me and giving me the support.
That's dope. Support system. Let's get back to travel. You did not allow this experience to stop you. You stayed in the country, which is so admirable and shows your strength. Talk about the joy of travel. And like, I feel like in that moment that you decide to stay, that was like Black joy. Like, I'm gonna continue to do what I need to do. There's more pros than cons. Even though I went through this traumatic experience, you still chose yourself. So that's also very, very admirable. How do you continue to have this joy for travel despite that experience? And what do you hope for Black women as they travel and those who may have experienced something similar or unfortunately may experience something similar in the future?
I mean, for Black women especially, y'all need to travel. This is it. Like, I don't know. That's it, period. And mind you, this happened 2.5 years into traveling. And one of the biggest things that I want y'all to know is that if you go on that 1 month or 1 week trip, I'm not saying that this will happen, but this is very, 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 very much less likely to happen. Okay. Do not choose to believe or really believe that this is going to happen. No, it's just not true. What I found is that once you start solo traveling for more than like 2-3 years, this happens to a lot of solo travelers who've been doing this for a long time. You are living life abroad, right? When we live life, you learn lessons. That's it. You know, so whether this happens in Colombia or in the States, I think either way, I would have been traumatized, right? So you have to kind of like take that into consideration and like look at it from that perspective where it's like, when you start to live life abroad, stuff is going to happen abroad. When you start to live life in the States, stuff happens. You know, it's not that one country is more dangerous than the other. Every country that I've been to has one city or one place that everybody says, don't go there. So don't go there. You know, that's it. Or not even don't go there, but be more cautious when you travel there. Don't stick out like a sore thumb, obviously. And this is where knowing locals comes into play, because then you can ask the locals, what should I do? What should I not do? Where should I go? Where should I not go? Right? This is probably, for me, this is my biggest solo travel hack, is knowing locals. I think if I didn't know locals, I probably, to be honest, wouldn't have traveled as much as I did. I mean, it's just, there's this aspect of transformation that happens when you solo travel, and it's because you change your environment. When you change your environment, this is one of the things that neurologists and psychologists unanimously agree on, is that the environment is the biggest hurdle to transformation or growing yourself. And I'm not saying it's impossible, right? But it's the biggest hurdle. And what I learned was that in traveling, when you pick yourself and you put yourself in a new place, the hurdle just disappears and you kind of embrace this new version of yourself and you allow yourself to grow. It happens. Even if you didn't set intentions, but you solo traveled anyway, it's just going to happen, right? Really take advantage of that opportunity. If there is an opportunity for you to travel, even if you don't solo travel, but I really want to empower y'all to solo travel, because it's different when you solo travel. If there's an opportunity for you to solo travel, take it. That's it. Like, take it, because you're going to learn things about yourself that you didn't know of before. And it's going to really empower you to see yourself, not just in a different light, but really see how big you are. That's That's the only way I can say it right now. It's so empowering. And even with what happened in Colombia, after that, it forced myself to be more extroverted, because like I was like, girl, we can't travel like we've been traveling before. I need to travel with more people now. So it really empowered me to travel with more people more often. And that's because like my introverted self had this anxiety around group trips. But when you solo travel, it empowers you to do something different. Let's have a different experience. Let's see how I am in this environment. Let's go on a tour by myself, you know, and let's see how I am when I interact with other people. So it just allows you to kind of expand yourself in a way. And I think through that expansion, we allow ourselves to elevate our vibration, vibrate higher, be happier. When we start to have these experiences, we start to learn more about ourselves and what we love and what truly fuels us. But we can't do that until we expand and we try new things, right? And it's probably why I stuck to solo travel too, because I knew that I had more growing to do. This was one way that I knew was going to grow myself. So, you know, why not continue?
Okay, so what do you hope for your legacy to be? You're a solo traveler. You've been to how many countries? 25-ish and counting. What do you hope your legacy to be as you talk about, you know, transformation and travel? What can we see and expect from you for the future?
Oh, girl, my legacy. I've been doing a lot of work on this. So, sorry, it's a big question. I mean, my hope just through my experience is to get more women to take that first leap if you need to. Again, you don't have to travel. You can try to go over that hurdle at home in the same environment. But with traveling, I want to say it's a little easier with traveling. I hope to really empower generations of women to solo travel, because even for mothers, if you're a mom listening to this, even if you can take off 1 week, just take off 1 week. It's the daycare situation. Just try to figure it out. And actually, there are some countries you can go to where you can bring your child with you and go on your own. I know a lot of single moms who actually went to Bali and they're able to go on day trips with themselves and have that solo travel adventure, even with their kid. I really want to empower all women to solo travel. It's just so life-changing. It's so rewarding. Because at the end of the day, we have to start to undo this false belief that we have to give to others in order for us to be happy. And the way that I'm doing that is through sharing my story, empowering more moments of transformation within people through my YouTube channel and through my Instagram posts. I think at the end of the day, if you're not ready to travel too, it really starts with wellness. If you can just put in just the time once a day to kind of fuel yourself and feed yourself, whether that's through like the 6-minute meditations I was doing or doing gratitude journaling for 5 minutes every day. If you can just start to do that, I think all the other pieces will come into alignment. So for me, that's my legacy. Prioritize your happiness. When you prioritize your happiness, everything else around you is also going to start to become happier. Your job is going to be a happier place. Your kids, if you have kids, are going to become happier. But it does take that work. It does take that investment into the relationship that you have with yourself. You got to do that. You got to do that. There's no way around that. So, but I promise you, your kids will thank you if you're a mother. And if not your kids, your whole family will thank you afterwards. But you got to go through that.
All right, ladies, y'all heard it from LaJoie. You got to put in the work. We're doing the work. Thank you so much, LaJoie, for coming on today's episode. We really enjoy having you. If you all enjoy hearing about exploring the world through a Black woman's perspective, make sure you subscribe and follow us at Black Girl World Traveler. LaJoie's at The Solo Travel Queen Official on Instagram. Is that also your handle on YouTube as well?
Yeah, it is. If you go to my YouTube or Instagram, it's going to be in the link or in the description. But I have a free wellness library, so you can start now. And it has more than 10 resources on wellness. And then my free solo travel safety guide, and it's going to be on like linked on either of those pages.
Awesome. Dope. Well, ladies, make sure you follow LaJoie. Looking ahead, I've got more stories, travel tips, guests, and honest conversations coming on Black Girl World Traveler. I want to shout out our Black Girl World Traveler community. You guys are making this journey so special. I want to thank LaJoie once again for coming on. I learned a lot. And remember, the adventure continues. Keep exploring, stay true to your journey, and we'll catch y'all next time. Take care, y'all.